Previously on the Sound of Football podcast. Sorry, I watched The Walking Dead the other night, and I'm still sort of,
You're all over that, Tim.
They are walking. They're not shuffling.
No, they are walking dead. No, it's not. It's quite good. There's not the shuffling. The Romero shuffles kind of. Well, it's a bit there.
Yeah.
But there's no. They haven't got this kind of Danny Boyle kind of like running around.
I don't like running zombies.
No, we want shuffling.
Zombies have to be a bit cool. Cool doesn't mean.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no.
Running zombies, it's not natural, is it?
No, not really at all.
I believe we may have exhausted this topic. Yes, it's the Sound of Football podcast with Terry DeFellin, Graham Sibley, and your host, Chris Oakley.
By my calculations, this should be episode 93 of the Sound of Football podcast, and we're very glad you can join us for it once again this week. Terry, Graham, and I will be sifting through the refuse tip. That is the world of modern-day football, hoping to unearth a gold trinket or two, but more than likely just bringing you the same old bags of fetid rubbish. Before we go on, we need to apologise for the lack of a podcast last week. That was entirely my fault. I won't bore you with the reasons for it, but needless to say, life got in the way of recording a decent podcast, so sorry about that. I'll do my best to ensure it doesn't happen again. But the important thing is that we're back once again this week. I.e. today, Monday, we put out an appeal on our Facebook fan page and Twitter, details of which we'll give you later, to ask for a subject that we could talk about on this week's show, and we're very pleased to say that our old friend Ed Carter did just that. Ed, better known as Dotmund, suggested we discuss who would make a suitable replacement for Sir Alex Ferguson when the sad day comes for him to leave his post as manager of Man United. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but before we go on, just want to give a big thank you to Ed for his suggestion, and to recommend that you follow him on Twitter, at Dotmund, and on his fabulous blog site, dotmund.blogspot.com, both of which will enrich your life, you can be sure. Anyway, back to Sir Alex, who this week has been rightly lauded for his 25 years at the helm of Man United. We're not going to list all the trophies he's won during that time, we haven't got time for all that, but one day this amazing run, of course, will come to an end. So chaps, I guess the first thing we have to consider is how much longer has he got at Man United? Is he likely to be there forever?
Not forever.
Are you sure?
I think you're right there. I think it will. I mean, you know, well, we do know they have some rather advanced medical techniques at Old Trafford. Yeah. But whether or not we'll be seeing like Alex Ferguson's pickled head in a jar in the dugout a la Futurama is, I'm not saying we're not ready for that yet. But yeah, if anyone's going to do it, I think it could possibly be them.
Or Milan, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah,
Berlusconi's head in a jar. The
gods
of the San Siro.
Hitting his head.
Stupido!
And Inzaghi's head, like still positioned on the edge of the six-yard box.
And Shevchenko's head, but it will be turned to the back, not facing Berlusconi. That's a constant punishment and reminder of his betrayal.
Should we just talk about strange disembodied heads for the rest of the next 28 minutes?
I can see it.
Well, we've done two so far.
It means we'll have to start. We can have Ray Winston's at half-time. Whose disembodied head will we be talking about next?
Any time, boy.
All right, lads.
Swish.
God.
What was the question?
Oh, I think we should just start all
over
again.
I think the answer is that...
How long are you likely to be there?
It could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or it could be 5 years from now. I mean, it could be a pie and box shop.
What's
he going to do when he quits anyway?
Well, he's had one go at retiring and thought better of that, so conceivably he could be. Yeah. He's a lifer. Is Sir Alex?
Well, I think that was it because it wasn't the whole idea when he had.
He wanted to go upstairs when he renounced his retirement, and they said no because they remember what happened with Busby when he went upstairs. They got relegated, and I'm not suggesting that would happen, but I mean, you know, it's fair to say that a club like United have got a lot to lose because they've just got a lot. They want to be careful about this, and you know, it just didn't happen. He ended up staying, and a good thing too for United. But I mean, really, it is going to be a question of him either being, well, basically being too old to continue, or too infirm to continue. And we have no idea, you know, what will happen there. It's perhaps a bit morbid to speculate too much.
Well,
but
yeah.
I think if we do see a shift of power over towards City, and City is still, even with the financial fair play rules coming into force, if they're still dominating the transfer market and they're still and they go on to fulfil their potential, he might decide, well, yeah, I'll leave now with United out on top, and let someone else sit in City's shadow.
Hmm. Quit while he's ahead, so to speak.
Exactly,
and he will be ahead by. I mean, in terms of trophy hauls, in the English game, no one's going to be able to touch him, if ever. For a long time, and probably never. So, that's a good point there. Graham makes. He may well precisely do just that. So, it could be quite soon, or it could be some time. So, when considering a replacement, it's worth thinking about immediate replacements and future, longer term.
I mean, I wonder to what extent the people up at sort of boardroom level actually sort of think about what they're going to do when Sir Alex is no longer in charge, whether they just try and blank it out of their mind and think it's just too hideous a thought, because quite honestly there's very, very few people that could step in and take over as manager and continue that success, I wouldn't be at all surprised. I just think we'd rather not think about this. Let's just
Well, yes, I mean, that's what we do. But you'd hope that the people in charge of a multi-billion pound organisation
do a bit of forward planning.
Yeah. Mm.
That's why I've never been asked to run a major football club.
Otherwise, their share prices could take a real hideous tumble.
It is a corporation, isn't it? And you'd think that they're a bit more. I mean, if it was like a regular football club, it may well be that they'd have their head in their sands.
Yeah,
because that's how football clubs tend to run themselves. Mm. But perhaps not United.
No, indeed. We have to consider the front runners. Really, I think we can strike the names of George Graham and David O'Leary off the list at this point. I would say probably number one candidate is your Jose Mourinho, isn't it, really? It's still fresh in the memory what he achieved at Chelsea. And I think he's even gone on record as sort of saying if there was another job that he'd like to take on in England, then it would be the Man United job. What is there left for him to achieve at Real Madrid? What is there that's kind of keeping him there for the foreseeable future, would you say?
To stick one to Barcelona.
Yeah, stick it to Guardiola, I should think. But he's not won anything. He's won the Copa del Rey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in
but
the time he's been there, which
he needs to win the title there.
So he needs to win the title, and really he needs to win the Champions League.
That would help.
I mean, to be able to become a true success at Real Madrid, you need to have got I would suggest at least two domestic titles and one Champions League trophy to be an unqualified legendary success.
Mm. Well, if he did that, then he would probably be... Everyone's been saying about Alex Ferguson being the best manager of all time, the best British manager, and you can't really argue with it. But if Mourinho managed to win back-to-back titles in Spain and win back-to-back titles in a fourth country, that would be
pretty good.
That would be something.
If he takes another Champions League as well, a third Champions League with another club.
Yeah.
Then it would place him amongst the truly greats of all time.
Yeah.
The true greats of all time, no question about it.
And he could go anywhere, and yes, Man United.
And Manchester United is anywhere.
This is another thing, though, is that the fact that, perhaps we shouldn't be deviating like this, but to think that if they do leave it too long and Man United are in the shadow of City, all of a sudden it's not
that big a gig, is it?
The bigger gig that it was.
Well,
City, in fact, is the better gig, isn't it? Because it's got more resources.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, this is the interesting kind of dynamic in all of this, is it's all about being in the right place at the right time. And as you say, Ferguson sticks around at Man United for a while, and then Man United's kind of curve starts going downwards as a Man City star rises, suddenly the whole picture changes.
Of course, it does make it a good time to come into a club when people's expectations levels aren't as high as they were. Would that ever really happen at Man United?
What kind of a coach is Mourinho, though? I mean, Mourinho is a guy who's a bit of a squad builder, isn't he, though? And arguably Manchester United don't necessarily need that kind of guy, do they? They don't need a revolutionary to come in. They need someone to just, you know, a safe pair of hands, someone to just keep things going, you know, on the assumption that if they keep things going, then the results will just come in. He's not that kind of guy who, like when you went to Chelsea, he brought in his own people. And obviously the same at Inter, you know, and he affected, you know, quite significant change on the club, whereas United don't really need that. There's no need for a cultural change, and there's certainly, you know, there might be, you know, personnel changes, but, you know, this is a club that still thinks of itself as someone that generates its own best players and then brings in players to back those up. Is that really the kind of guy that Mourinho is?
I don't know. I mean, like these sort of things change so much recently. Man United haven't produced a great deal of their own talent in recent years.
No, I suppose not.
What's an interesting angle on this I always find is that when you get these situations where great teams suddenly lose their manager and then somebody new comes in, it's like what they do with the squad. And as you'll remember, Graham Souness, I'm sorry to have to point this out, Mr. Souness, but you were the weakest link at the end of a great long line of amazing Liverpool managers in the 70s and 80s, you know, going from Bill Shankly onwards right the way through to Kenny Dalglish. When Kenny Dalglish left, Graham Souness came in and he inherited an ageing squad. And I think his approach was to kind of get rid of most of them, your Peter Beardsleys and your Ian Rushes and stuff like that, and actually bring in some new talent, the likes of which, you know, would go on, you know, the Robbie Fowlers of this world and so on. But
did you buy David Speedy?
That was Dalglish who bought David Speedy. He did buy Paul Stewart, though.
Yes, which
was a colossal transfer faux pas.
Crystal Palace's Paul Stewart.
Crystal Palace, who was a legend at Crystal Palace for the 3 months that he was there. He got us back into the Premier League. But no Liverpool player
he was known by his short name of Pete. P45, I think he was known as by Graham Souness.
Been in squad number now.
Yeah, that's right. so I mean, you know, as you say, if Mourinho came into Man United, let's say he came in at the end of this season, you kind of wonder what he would do with the squad, whether he'd kind of, you know, to what extent he would kind of cull some of the dead wood and bring in his own players. Interesting one. But certainly, you know, you'd have to put Jose Mourinho at the top of your list of candidates. There are other big names to consider as well. I suppose Fabio Capello, not the most stupid suggestion. I mean, obviously coming to the end of his England contract and someone who is held in high regard for all his achievements, particularly over in Italy. How likely is that? And do you think he'd be a success there?
If Ferguson was to go soon, then it wouldn't happen at all, because Capello's name is mud in England at the moment. Obviously, being the England manager, his name would be mud. Perhaps after a couple of years of rehabilitation, that isn't actually
next summer, and he'll be fine.
Absolutely no question about it. They'll be wanting him to stay.
Everyone thinks Bobby Robson was a fantastic England manager.
Yeah, he was until he decided to leave, and then when he decided to listen to his players, and then we got to the semi final.
He was good old Bobby Robson,
you know. And since then, it's good old Bobby, eh? We love him. We love him, really.
Yes.
Bless him.
So, I mean, Capello, I mean, a fantastic record everywhere he's gone. He's won, pretty much, hasn't he? You know, Milan, Roma, Juve, albeit those wins were somewhat tainted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, no question that he has and he'd had the respect and all the skills required to do the job. Yeah, absolutely. May well be a good one for him, because although he may himself be at an age where he's thinking of retiring to his art collection, and may think that it'll be quite a sweet gig for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See if he can pick himself up a couple and make big trophies and, you know, walk around like a young
nice little sort of swan song, yes.
Certainly a guy like, but a guy like Capello is going to be the kind of guy who will have sufficient ego to look up at that big sign on the stand that says
Sir Alex Ferguson stand
right and opposite the dugout,
and not be intimidated by it.
I think that's what you'd be looking at. I think you wouldn't be getting a long term replacement with the first guy to come after. It's got to be someone to steady the ship. You know, it wouldn't be surprise me if it was going to be someone like Gus Hiddink or
I don't think it'll be. I won't think
it would be, but it would be someone like that. Yeah. Someone these like workaday decent managers.
Yeah, so, yeah. Someone with a good track record, with a decent track record at any rate, or at least with a perception of a decent track record in Hiddink's case.
Yeah.
and yeah, preferably someone who knows the players' names.
That always helps.
I was going to say an English speaker, but I don't suppose it ever stops Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, if you're talking about kind of, well, I'm not sure stopgap is really the kind of phrase I'm looking for here, but I mean, Chelsea, when Mourinho left, they got in Avram Grant, who was seen by a lot of people as being a kind of not what you might call a long-term replacement, partly because of the fact that he was director of football and he was kind of close friends with Abramovich, so it was a bit like, oh, we'll bring him in and he should know enough about football, kind of. I'm sure there's probably lots of Chelsea fans out there swearing at me as I say this, but, I mean, is that a fair sort of assessment of him, that maybe he was brought in to kind of just keep things steady until someone else came along of Mourinho standard? Would that be about right?
I think that was a case of no plan B.
Yeah, I don't think they really... I think the idea of bringing in a safe pair of hands is a good one as a stopgap after you've had a big beast who's just left. I don't think Grant really did that. And I don't even think I'm saying that with hindsight. No. I think there were few at the time who thought that that was a wise decision.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, yes.
It proved not to be. I mean, I guess we're talking about two kinds of candidates, aren't we, Chris? We're talking about somebody to come in for maybe a season or two seasons, just, as Graham says, just to steady the ship. Because when he goes, he'll leave the ship will be rocking when he leaves. So just for someone to come in there, establish the equilibrium, and then perhaps bring in a longer-term guy who at that point hopefully will be, who perhaps maybe is established now, but perhaps still quite young and inexperienced, and not quite ready for the task, but would be by the time that transitionary period has come through. Now, I was thinking about Jurgen Klopp at Borussia Dortmund, who I think is emerging into a, if he can sort Dortmund out in the Champions League, is turning into a top quality coach. He may go to Bayern, in fairness, but I mean, if he doesn't go to Bayern, then it may be that he'll be lured by the prospect of managing in England. And I certainly think he has the qualities to be at the moment to be considered for the job in the future.
And I suppose that's the one thing that's kind of holding him back a little bit in terms of like whether he would get the job is just, so far he hasn't quite nailed European success, but then it's relatively early in his managerial career, is it not?
Relatively early. It's his third crack at European football, and he hasn't done a very good job in any of it, but it's his first crack at the Champions League, so you could argue that, he hasn't had the opportunity yet. But the Champions League campaign is not over yet, and Dortmund may yet produce something. Yeah.
They're leaving a bit late, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've also got that chap Pep Guardiola at Barcelona. Now he's done some great things with some workaday Spanish players out there. he must have quite a lot of tactical nous. To get them together.
Although he's a young coach, he could do the job tomorrow, couldn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, he could do the job. But I mean, would he do the job tomorrow? I suppose. And
I guess
the thing
not.
Is, where do you go from? I mean, this is the football club that has won football.
Yes,
it did
win football.
It's completely won football. Yeah. What do you do after that? Win it again.
There's not much motivation to get out of bed in the morning, is there? Really?
No, but I mean, obviously, I think he's got a lot of respect for the institution that is Manchester United, as everybody does, and I'm sure he'd be delighted with the large sum of money he'd be offered to go there, and he's got to go at some point because I mean he's visibly aging.
he doesn't look like a Star Trek episode.
I was going to say an Oscar Wilde short story, but Star Trek episode works better.
Yeah, I think it probably fits better with our audience.
True enough.
And it helps out Terry if he wants to get a sound file at the end. It's not easy to find music for Oscar Wilde. Anyway,
no, that's true. Yeah, but
okay. So let's throw a few more names in the end. I'm wary of Graham's reputation as being able to predict these things unerringly accurately. So, I mean, you know, whoever Graham actually goes for during the course of this podcast, I think we should actually sort of, you know, put a bet on tomorrow.
See, now I might be deliberately impish.
Oh. Gerard Houllier? Hey. I wanted to pick Gerard Houllier like you did last time.
I want to just edit over the soundtrack. Yeah. Do you want to make a prediction now to who will be the next Man United manager?
Even though Sir Alex Ferguson isn't actually leaving.
Isn't actually leaving. the next Man United manager might not even be born yet.
That's unlikely. That's stretching it a bit.
They're just stretching it a bit.
Well, what about, hang on a second.
Hang on a second.
I'll make a suggestion. I'll make a prediction.
Psychic tell.
Prediction.
Yeah.
It's going to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ooh.
Boom.
Boom. Boom indeed.
Boom, yes. Yeah, I mean, as far as ex-players are concerned, I would have thought that Laurent Blanc was probably ahead of him.
Yeah.
But.
Yep, but. That's true.
Now you say that. Yeah. Now you say that. That's a really good chance.
Just delivered the Norwegian title.
I think that is, you know, we were talking about the bring someone in and then look for someone long term. Mm-hmm. He's your long term dude. Yeah.
So it could conceivably be some fat groundee who comes in for a couple of seasons, you know, and you know, gets on with it, gets things settled down, and then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer comes in.
Yeah. I should say it's a critical period, because let's assume. And I'm now going to alienate all the Man United fans, but let's assume that what's about to happen is Man City take over at the top of the heap as far as the Premier League is concerned. It'll be a critical period for Man United, that 1 or 2 years around that time when that happens. So is there not a line of thought here which suggests that maybe they should just go straight for someone who can get them back on top of the pile and you know, get them.
Well, I think that's why they'd need someone with a lot of experience. Someone who's not building a squad for the future. Someone who is bringing in expensive players and making them gel within the squad. Mm. I think that's and it would probably work as successfully as it didn't work for Chelsea in the immediate aftermath of Mourinho leaving.
Because, if you bring in a Solskjaer at that point and he's sort of basically found out for not having enough experience as far as, you know, being a manager is concerned, then that will set them back even further, Man United, then, in terms of getting back on, you know, above City. So,
I mean, I think my prediction is probably largely based on the fact that Sir Alex Ferguson, I think he's going to stay for another 5 years, at which point Solskjaer will have moved to another club.
Further up the ladder.
Older, possibly two, and then be ready for the big chair.
Mm.
But I mean, that could just as easily not happen. You know, he could go, as Graham said, he could leave sooner because you know, recognizing the fact that his legacy may be slightly under threat because of Manchester City.
Mm. And good.
He doesn't want to be there when City are, like, you know,
bragging.
No, not when they've
swinging
won
their
three
bollocks around.
Three titles in a row and are digging away at their tally. I mean, empire's end. Mm. That happens to Liverpool.
Yep, dynasties rise and fall. It's a historical fact.
Yeah.
And Man United's time will come.
Yeah,
if
the history book says that, you know, Man United's dynasty ended when Alex Ferguson left, rather than Man United's dynasty ended when Man City got a hell of a load of money.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'll look better for him in the long run.
Absolutely.
If he's motivated by such things, then yeah, I suspect he is motivated.
I suspect he is motivated by such things.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be aware of your own ego if you're going to do a job like that.
Yeah.
You've got to be. Like podcasting, isn't it?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not off.
Well, other podcasts.
Not
we're
off.
Not. We're fabulous.
We're fabulous and humble. Yes. Very
modest.
Humble.
Excuse me.
And very sexy.
I'm sexy.
If I could just refocus your attention on the matter.
I'm sexy in a raunchy way.
For heaven's sake, can we just... anyway, I'm aware of the fact we're going into the last 5 to 10 minutes here, so I'm going to rattle through various names, and I just basically want you to kind of go, yes,
on their sexiness value.
What are you...
Stop it.
Okay, Carlo Ancelotti?
No.
No. Why no?
No, he's I think he's past it. For Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a job. Oh, okay, I'm being unfair. But what has he done since he left Chelsea? I think he needs to be working again. I think if Carlo Ancelotti's going to do it, he needs to be working again.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's not. Hmm. I mean, he may just simply be counting his money.
He has got a lot of it. He has got a lot of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Harry Redknapp?
Oh, we love the job, but it's a bit too far north.
It'd be terrific, yeah. But he'd have to commute from London. He'd have to commute from his home.
Bournemouth.
Being Paul, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Fair enough. In terms of the other kind of feasible candidates, looking back over to Europe, when we mentioned Laurent Blanc, I'm not so sure, did wonderfully well at Bordeaux for a season or two, but then it sort of all started to fall apart, so I'm not sure now. But maybe Didier Deschamps, but even he's having a bit of a rocky period at Marseille at the moment. So, but undoubtedly, I mean, both of them obviously members of that great French team of not so long ago, World Cup winning team and so on and so forth, so they've got certainly some experience there, so I'm not sure about those. But I mean, looking further afield to the less likely candidates, we have to start off with Sven, don't we, really? Any even distant possibility they'll kind of go, oh, former England manager, he'll do?
None at all.
No,
that seems unlikely.
Sven, sorry, Sven, I tried.
That's gonna be it. Yeah,
I tried my best, Sven, sorry if you're listening. Steve McLaren on the same kind of, you know.
Well, you know, the thing about Steve, of course, is he used to be a coach at the club.
Mm.
And if you're looking for someone who is very good at doing, we talked about Steve a few weeks ago, didn't we? And we said his greatest virtue was that he did nothing when he arrived at Twente. He just let things go. I mean, you may want to do that, and it worked.
The passive.
They were chairlifting him off the pitch at the end of the season.
The passive, you know, style of management.
Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Yes, they basically lock him in a cupboard for 9 months, and then he comes out at the end and they parade him around the ground. Yes. We'll make a note of that. What about, I mean, if we're talking about kind of former players, because obviously clubs do like to occasionally bring in former players just to bring about a bit of, you know, solidarity and all the rest of it amongst fans and so on. What about Roy Keane? I mean, OK, he's been out of work for a while, but I dare say there'd be a cross-section of fans that would be quite happy to you know, see him arrive and could generate a bit of good fortune for the club. Is that a good way forward?
No,
not
no. I mean, he's one of these managers who's, again, we've talked about this phenomenon as in previous podcasts, who is heading downwards. If anything,
yeah. You know,
he went from Sunderland, he got them up. He did very well at Sunderland, got them up, kept them up. Sunderland is obviously a club that's got issues. And, you know, he's gone down from there, and he moved to Ipswich, dropped down a division to Ipswich to see if he could revive his fortune, spent a barrel load of cash. It hasn't happened yet. Again, Ipswich don't seem, no, there doesn't seem to be anyone who can do anything with Ipswich. So you could say he's been a bit unlucky with his choice of clubs, but I'm not certain that he has done enough to deserve a shot at that, beyond the fact that he was a bit of a legend there as a player.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain that Manchester United are really, you know, interested in that sort of thing.
Mm.
No, I don't think so.
This is a club that have made some mistakes themselves down the years.
Oh yeah.
With it, you know, when particularly in the wake of, and I'm certain that the memory of Busby's departure will play on the minds of a lot of them. And I know there's new guys there, but I'm sure with that, the experience and the memories of that deep unpleasantness that they had after Busby's resignation, and the fact that he moved upstairs and the new guy came in,
Wolf
and
McGuinness.
Wolf McGuinness, and it was a disaster. And I'm pretty certain that they will not want to be sentimental. They'll want to make an informed, you know, conceivably remotely scientific choice.
Yeah, the thing is that a lot of the ex players of Ferguson's ex-players have gone into management. They've had decent enough careers, and they've had some elements of success.
Mm.
But yeah, they've been given good jobs by and large. A lot of them. I mean, you look at Steve Bruce. He's had some good teams, and he has done some stuff. But you know, he's not really pushed them that extra mile further.
No,
anywhere he's gone.
He's not been given he was never given the chance to at a crack at one of the top jobs either.
No.
Because there are very few of those top jobs around.
And he may have dodged a bullet with the Newcastle job.
I think when a lot of people thought that he was, if he got that Newcastle job, then because Newcastle were at that point where they were still considered to be a top four, top five club.
Yeah.
And had he succeeded Bobby Robson, then things might have been different. Of course, it's a different situation now at Newcastle, and of course now he's gone to Sunderland, so that's completely. Yeah, that's a complete absurdity. But I mean, obviously the Liverpool job would never have been on any way because he's got no connections with Liverpool. In fact, his only connections with Liverpool are bad ones because he's an ex-Man United player. Arsenal, of course, out of the question. I don't think he's ever been to London for anything more than 4 or 5 hours. So Chelsea was no good. You know, I mean, it's just, these options aren't there. And he obviously, like so many other English managers, is unwilling to go to Europe and see if he can find his way up the ladder that way. So, you know, it's hard to see him taking that job.
I suppose out of also ex-players, who's like people who have been thought would go on to become Man United manager, either their career has nosedive, like Brian Robson, or they made some incredible faux pas on Channel 4 documentary, or people like Gary Neville who've decided to go into punditry rather than the management.
Yeah, or Paul Scholes, who's presumably decided to go and live on his farm or whatever it is.
By Oldham, or
something. Yeah, possibly by Oldham, and just sit in the director's box there with his flat cap. Because you can imagine him wearing a flat cap, can't you? Yeah. You can imagine him wearing a flat cap and just taking his dogs for a walk and enjoying his retirement. Good on him as well.
So I think the cupboard's a bit bare for ex players with a reasonable expectation of taking over at Man United.
Yeah. One manager who hasn't been mentioned, of course, is Martin O'Neill.
Mm. Well, I dare say he's not interested.
No. Well, I mean,
we haven't mentioned Gordon Strachan either.
No, we haven't. But we have to mention Martin O'Neill because it's a contractual obligation.
Have to mention. Yes.
We have.
So what? We're now looking forward to a time when Martin O'Neill turns down the Man United.
Well, not so much turns down, but declares his non-interest.
As he sits expectantly by the time.
Breaking news on Sky Sports News. Martin O'Neill has announced today that he's not expected to be offered the Manchester United job. Or the Aston Villa job, or the West Ham job.
Or the Nottingham Forest job.
Yeah.
Yes. Martin O'Neill joke, tick. Right. I mean, there's various other names we could have mentioned. We're pretty much out of time now. But Arsene Wenger, a bit impish to suggest him, perhaps. David Moyes, maybe, and dare I say, Kevin Keegan. Right, anyway, on that bombshell, I think we should probably draw a line under things.
Kevin Keegan?
I think it was an unexploded bombshell.
I think he'd love it if he got that job. He'd absolutely love it. He'd be hanging all at the back of that one. And other gags. Anyway, that's it. I think for this particular podcast, just before we go, just want to say thank you very much to all of those people who responded so favourably to our last podcast, all about EPPP. We weren't sure if us trying to put a positive spin on things was going to upset many people, but as it turned out, you were all absolutely decent about the whole thing, and many of you said that you enjoy the fact that we did try to put a positive spin on things. So thank you to all of you who gave us such nice feedback. Anyway, that'll do, I think, for now. Thanks very much indeed for listening. Hope you join us again for episode 94 next time around of the Sound of Football podcast. For now, however, from myself, from Terry and from Graham, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Let us know your thoughts at footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, contact us via Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball. Or have a word with us on Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball.